is the Respect for Marriage Act, the bill that was signed yesterday by President Biden, is it really showing respect for marriage? I say it's not. Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, along with Debbie Shreve, my wife. And Debbie, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dr. Shreve. I appreciate the privilege I have of being on with you today.
Yeah, and just so everybody knows, that is a joke.
It is totally a joke.
Yeah, we don't really use the doctor very much.
No.
But I do gigger on the program that, hey, wait a minute, I earned that doctorate. Call me doctor.
We earned that doctorate.
Yeah, we did. All right, so respect for marriage. Let's see what the Bible has to say. Matthew chapter 19, and some Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him and saying, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause at all? And Jesus answered and said, have you not read? Anytime he says that, that's kind of a burn, because they prided themselves on knowing the Old Testament and reading it and memorizing it and all those things. Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? That speaks to issues today for sure. And he said, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Consequently, they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Well, that is respect for marriage. Marriage is one man to one woman for life. And that comes from the lips of the Lord Jesus, who is quoting back from the beginning, back in Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, God made them male and female, and Genesis chapter 2, where the Lord brought them together for this cause, Genesis 2:24, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. I think what we have today is a situation where we're trying to tell God, hey, God, we're not going to do it your way. We're going to do it our way. We're going to show you. You know, the whole idea behind transgenderism, it's, God, you don't tell me who I am. I tell you who I am. That is dangerous ground when we as a nation start shaking our fist in the face of God and saying, God, I'm going to do it my way, and if you don't like it, tough.
Well, and I think if you look back through the Bible, it's shown time and time and time again that doing things your own way never works out.
No.
Never works out. And it's always God's ways are the best ways, whether they make sense to us, whether if we think they're right or not, his word stands true. Whether we are going to follow it or not, his word stands true. And I was thinking as you were talking about that, Jeff, it's like, I think part of the problem is it's twofold. There are people who know the Bible or who are familiar somewhat with the Bible, but they refuse to believe the Bible. Then there are other people who just don't even know what God's word says. They have no concept because they haven't heard it. They haven't seen it. They haven't had any access to it necessarily, or seen any need to have access to it. And as a result, so many people in our culture today are ignorant about what God's word says about marriage.
Well, they really are. So if you're not real familiar with the Respect for Marriage Act that Joe Biden did sign yesterday and invited a drag queen performer to be there, and it was pretty much a crowd of LGBTQ people. But this is from Yahoo News. The Respect for Marriage Act would for the first time enshrine same-sex and interracial marriages into federal law and allow the federal government to bring a civil lawsuit against anyone who violates the statutory rights of gay, lesbian, or interracial couples. The bill also notably repeals the 1996 federal law, the Defense of Marriage Act, called DOMA, which once defined marriage as between a man and a woman. So that's the bill that was signed into law. And there's cheering, and the White House was in rainbow colors. And, you know, we're basically just saying, well, you know, God, this is what we're going to celebrate. And if you don't like it, tough. And in saying to Christians who believe in the Word of God, hey, you're either going to get on board with this or we're going to demonize you, vilify you, and try and, you know, wreck and ruin your religious freedom. Now, they don't say that, but this is from the Washington Stand, which is part of Tony Perkins' organization. He said, this is what this legislation does. It creates a private right of action that will supercharge attacks on people and organizations that still believe in natural marriage, including people of faith who are already being attacked. Tacitly vilify millions of Americans who still believe in natural marriage by labeling that belief as quote-unquote sex discrimination and tantamount to racism. Number three, subject business owners to even more costly litigation. And number four, threaten the tax-exempt status of faith-based nonprofits. So that's what that bill, the Respect for Marriage, which is no respect at all for marriage, that's what that bill does. And so,
one thing I find very interesting about that bill is they keep throwing in the interracial.
Mm-hmm.
In what state in the United States is it not okay for an interracial marriage to take place?
Yeah, I was surprised at that, too.
It's like I don't even understand why that verbiage is in there, because I think it's to spur on, you know, the whole racial discrepancy,
right.
and it's to just stir the waters. But if you have any logical thought processes at all, you can recognize that there is no need for that verbiage to be in this bill, because interracial marriage is not at risk.
Right. Well, Biden went in the little clip I saw of his speech, you know, this strikes a blow against hate. You know, this is bipartisan, and we're all for it, and this is for love. Love is love, and this strikes a blow against hate. And the issue is, if you believe the Word of God, that doesn't mean you hate people. It means you just say, well, this is what God says is right, and this is what God says is wrong. And I'm not going to support you if you want to do wrong. I still love you, but I'm not going to support you in the wrong, because God has clearly said, don't do that. And so the idea that you just blow that off and, hey, we don't do what God says and he should be happy about that, he's not. And when you put the White House in rainbow colors, you're really calling God out, so to speak. And the Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. You know, Debbie, I was thinking this morning about Daniel chapter 5. And in Daniel chapter 5, the king, Belshazzar, he was having a big feast.
Uh-oh, getting a little choked up.
He was having a big feast, and the enemy was outside his gate, but he had the wall of Babylon, and he didn't think he was in trouble at all, and you can't get in here, nanny, nanny, boo-boo type attitude. And so he gave orders, it says, to bring the gold and silver vessels, which Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken out of the temple of the Lord, which was in Jerusalem, in order that the king and his nobles and his wives and his concubines might drink from them. So he's having this big, drunken, some say sexual orgy, and it's just all kinds of debauchery going on. And then let's add in the elements that we took from the temple of Yahweh to show our superiority. Well, when they did that, it says, then they brought the gold vessels they had taken out of the temple, the house of God, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines drank from them. They drank the wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Suddenly, the fingers of a man's hand emerged and began writing opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the back of the hand that did the writing. Then the king's face grew pale, and his thoughts alarmed him, and his hip joints went slack, and his knees began knocking together. And we know what the writing on the wall was.
Meeny, tekel, you farsen.
Which basically means, in Arnold Schwarzenegger language, hasta la vista, baby. You are done, pal. Those are paraphrases, but that was it. and God had enough, and God says, your loan on life is being called Belshazzar, and you're going to die. And he died that night. And so, you know, you can call God out if you want, but that's like saying, I'm going to play chicken with a tornado. You're going to get ripped to shreds because you're a man, and God is God, and all the nations are as nothing before him. They are regarded by him as less than nothing and meaningless. And so you can't stand before the Lord. And we are putting ourselves as a nation in a dangerous, dangerous path as we say, God, we're not going to do it your way. We're going to do it our way.
Well, one thing that I have seen is, and I've seen this quite a lot in the last few years, is that believers can have a very strong biblical concept of the rightness and wrongness of marriage, of homosexuality, of transgender, all of those things. They can completely be 100% on board with what God's word says until it is a part of their immediate family. Mm-hmm. And then when they're having to deal with it up close and personal, it's like, okay, well, wait a minute, that can't be right, because I know my loved one, I know my son, my daughter, and they're a good person, and I can't believe that, you know, God would want them to be this unhappy, or what, you know, whatever it is. They start making all these excuses, all these justifications, to all of a sudden make something that's black and white and has been black and white in their own hearts, all of a sudden they want it to be gray. And I admire those families, those Christian families that are dealing with these kind of things, and they stand true to the word of God, because it would be extremely difficult. That's an extremely difficult row to hoe, right? When you're having to love the person but not accept their lifestyle and not accept their sin, and how to navigate those waters. There's no negating the fact that that would be an extremely difficult situation to be in. But in this day and age, more and more people are in that situation, having to navigate those waters. And it's so important to stand firm to the truths of God's word, and to take the long look, not the short look, right, but to take the long look, because God has rules, regulations. He has things in place, not for our harm, but for our good. And we need to stay true to his word, even in the midst of this culture that thinks his word is worthless, that thinks his word is untrue, that thinks it's very biased, that it's just ridiculous in its it's archaic, whatever descriptors you want to put on it. But I'm seeing that a lot. Have you been witness to that as well?
Yeah, and so Jesus said, he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And so we have to say our supreme allegiance and our supreme love is to the Lord and to his, what he says, to his word. And so what is the word of God? It's God's mind in print. If you want to know what God thinks about a subject and how he weighs in on a subject, you know, do you pray about it? Sure. But you're going to find the answer in the word, because God's not going to contradict his word. And so we look to the word of God, and that's where we get our answers. This is how God set up things to be. One man, one woman for life. God made them male and female. There are only two sexes. There are only two genders. And if your chromosomal makeup is XY, you are a male, and your pronouns are he and him. And if your chromosomal makeup is XX, you are a female, and your pronouns, which you don't own, that's part of the part of the language, your pronouns are she and her. And that's fixed, and you can't change that. And as much as you want to change it, any attempt to change that is to try and change reality and paint your own reality that is an illusion and a fantasy. And, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. It doesn't equal 3. It doesn't equal 5. It equals 4. And we're much better off when we live in reality. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve along with Debbie. We'll be right back.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we want to continue to make that difference. God's called us to it, and we have set our face as a flint, like the prophets in the Old Testament, to stay true to God and His Word. So I want to encourage you to support the work here at American Family Association.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Target is in the bullseye because of its transgender bathroom policy.
The petition by the American Family Association to boycott Target now surpassing 1 million signatures and counting.
People have their own beliefs and stuff, but what could it hurt? What could it hurt? What could it hurt?
It hurts our daughters.
It hurts you.
It hurts our families.
It hurts me.
It hurts all of us.
Sign the petition to boycott Target at afa.net.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about the Respect for Marriage Act that was signed yesterday by President Joe Biden. Probably more aptly should be called the Disrespect for Marriage Act, because God says in His Word, as we read from Matthew chapter 19, that God made them male and female, and God brought them together, Genesis 2:24, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. That's what the Lord Jesus said about marriage. It's between a man and a woman, and it's for life. And once you come into that relationship as husband and wife, are you going to face struggles, trials, problems? Yes, but you work through those, and you avoid the big atom bombs that come into marriage in adultery and abuse and addiction. Those things can kill a marriage, and so as we stay away from those things, we can handle any difficulty as we trust the Lord and work look to Him and work together.
Well, I wanted to kind of piggyback on something that you closed with in that last segment, and that was the statement that you made about the fact that our supreme allegiance belongs to the Lord, not to a family member who is in sin or straying or those kind of things. And as I look at our culture, I think part of the issue stems from the fact that we are, number one, having so many pulpits across the country that do not speak to these issues at all. They just avoid them
Right.
Because they know that they're divisive, which is true. I mean, that's accurate. They are very divisive issues. But as a result of that, and maybe fear of man, I don't know, I can't get inside someone's heart to judge that, but they don't talk about it. So you have that group of pastors that refuse to talk about it. Then you have another whole set of pastors who have bought into it,
right,
and who now are watering down the truth, and they're making statements from the pulpit that are contrary to God's word, and it's causing a lot of confusion within the body of Christ, especially for those people who are not themselves grounded in the word, or who do not seek out to study the word for themselves and make sure that what they're hearing from the pulpit is accurate, which is on them. I mean, that's our responsibility. The Bible's very clear about that. But I see that happening quite a bit.
Well, I saw a tweet the other day. Somebody tweeted out this. Who do you see as the three people most responsible for America losing its values? And Jenna Ellis, Jenna is getting ready to start the program from 7 to 8, right before us in January. Jenna Ellis responded this way. The three people most responsible for America losing its values. She said, number one, pastors. Number two, politicians, and number three, parents. But I thought it was interesting that she put pastors on the top of the list, or at the top of the list, because it's exactly what you said, Debbie. We have a lot of pastors who don't want to deal with stuff, and they say, well, that's political. Listen, abortion is a moral issue. Homosexual marriage is a moral issue. Transgenderism is a moral issue. And we need to deal with those things because those things are destroying people's lives. When you talk about abortion, I mean, you are murdering 60 million plus babies in the womb. And then the scarring that does to the women that are told the lies that this is just a clump of tissue and this is the right thing to do, and this, you know, it'll be over, and then you can get on with life. Well, it's hard to get on with life because you are plagued by guilt knowing that you took your baby's life. And so those are moral issues that God speaks about in his word. Those, you don't have to, you know, come up with your own verses to talk about. The Lord talks about those things, and we need to stand up and be counted. I'm trying to remember who said this. It might have been Martin Luther, but he said, you know, when the attack on the wall is coming at a specific spot of the wall, if you don't go there to defend that and you're defending the opposite end of the wall, well, you're a coward. You're not, the attack's not over on the north side, it's on the south side, so you need to show up at the south side and defend the truth.
Right. And I think another element in there besides the pastors, politicians, and parents is our media. And sadly, we have reached the point in our nation when we can no longer trust our media to be unbiased and to tell us the truth, nor can we trust politicians to do that. And if we just fall in line with the things that we're hearing, thinking, well, why shouldn't I, they wouldn't lie to me. Oh, yes, they would. And they have. They've right. lied to us so much. And we just recently had a family member that made a statement like that said, well, yeah,
the government doesn't lie. Yeah, they want me to get a shot for COVID and they would not lie.
They wouldn't lie to me. It's like, oh, my soul. Where do you live in a barn? I mean, my goodness, is your head 10 feet under the ground. But I think that's so important, especially when you go into that element of the parent. That's why it's so important that parents do not trust the full education of their children to any particular place. They have to oversee that education. Mm-hmm. You cannot trust the church to do all of the work for you. You certainly cannot trust the public school system to do all of that for you. You have got to be intimately and grossly involved in the education of your children to make sure that they do, A, learn the truth, and B, learn how to stand up for the truth.
Well, even in church. So I have a friend of mine that's an elder in his church, and he told me, he said, yeah, we had to dismiss the youth pastor because, I said, why is that? I mean, he said, because his wife, they have a very dysfunctional marriage, and his wife is teaching the girls while she's deconstructing her faith. and she's just full of questions about the Bible and is any of this true? And she's teaching junior high or high school girls, you know, a quote-unquote Bible study class. Well, she's in no position to do that, and she's planting lots of doubts in their minds. And so even at church, you got to be careful. Okay, what are my children being taught? Mm-hmm. And so mom and dad, you are responsible for those kids ultimately. Mm-hmm. God gave those children to you to oversee their education and especially their spiritual training. And you don't put poison on their plate and let them put that in their mouth and get that into their body. Don't let people put poison into their minds. Fill their minds with the truth and help them to know the difference between this is right and this is wrong. And this is why, because God tells us this is the way he set up things. This is what's moral. This is what's immoral. And, you know, what is moral and what's immoral has to do with the nature and character of God. And so why is it wrong to lie? Because that's totally opposite of God's nature. He is truth. And why is it wrong to commit adultery? Because that's stealing something that doesn't belong to you. Why is it wrong to steal? Because God would never do that. That's just reprehensible to God, to take something that doesn't belong to you. And we used to have, everyone had kind of a bedrock of right and wrong embedded into them. But we don't have that anymore.
No, absolutely not. And I think, too, it's so important when it comes to our children to teach them just the basic principle that having God's approval on their life is inexplicitly more important than having any other kind of approval from friends, from groups that they might be in, from teachers, from anybody else. It's having God's approval of what they're doing. And that goes back to what I had mentioned before, taking the long look as opposed to taking the short look.
Right. Well, Isaiah 5:20 is a important verse of scripture that we come back to time and time again as our world begins to unravel and gets further and further away from God. And the scripture says this: woe to those who call evil good and good evil. The Defense of Marriage Act. We're calling evil good and good evil. Who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. So, Romans chapter 1, professing to be wise, they became fools. That's where we are today. We think we're so smart. And we said, God, you know, we have a better way. We can do it. We don't need you. And we're going to do it our way. And it's Genesis chapter 11. We're going to build a tower and we're going to come together and let us make for ourselves a name, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. And God destroyed all that. And that's when he confounded the languages. And it's like, hey, I just need to touch one little thing in your plan and it all crumbles. And so that's when we get the different nations and the different languages all came from Genesis chapter 11. But listen, life goes well when you do it God's way. If you don't do it God's way, the way of the transgressor is hard. Life is not going to go well. So think about, you can drive your car on the highway or you can take your car off road where it's just filled with rocks and potholes and crevices. And, you know, if you've ever seen them driving in the outback in Australia, you know, you have to pack a bunch of tires because you're going to be blowing out tires as you drive over sharp rocks. That's what life is like when you do it your own way. The way of the transgressor is hard, but the way of the righteous is a highway. And so God says, get on the highway, do it my way, and you will be blessed. Well, we have the phone lines open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. As we talk about doing life God's way or doing life our way, as we talk about the Defense of Marriage Act and what the Bible really says about marriage, and as we talk about pastors and Christians standing up for truth. We know it's not going to be popular, but God has called us to do that. what does it mean to be a witness? It means you stand up and tell what the Lord has done for you, and you don't back down in the face of adversity or in the face of threats.
And that goes back to our supreme allegiance being to God and God alone. That goes right back to that. And I remember several months back, we had Ricky Shillette come to our church and speak on a Sunday evening. And he was talking about the whole transgender movement. And one of the things that I thought was so great about multiple things that he said, but he, with each argument that he gave in terms of what the culture is saying, he took that out to the nth degree. To say, okay, if we just keep pushing this envelope out, this is going to help you see the absurdity of this argument. And it was so true, because it's like you don't think about that, because it starts the compromises within this, they start so small, and you think, oh, well, this will never get to this point. But how many of us are looking at what's going on in our culture today and thinking, boy, I would have never thought our culture would be where it is today. I would have never thought that in my lifetime we were going to be having to argue over the definition of what a woman is.
Right.
Right? So his argument was, if you take it out to the nth degree, what is to stop all of a sudden? It's like, okay, I'm a 15-year-old man who identifies as a 30-year-old woman, and I want to be married to my dog. I mean, it sounds so crazy, but all of it's crazy if you right. think about it. I mean, sin causes craziness, right? And so you just think, man, if you really take some of their speaking points, some of their arguments, if you take them out to the nth degree, mm-hmm. you can see the absurdity to it. And the scary part is the nth degree isn't necessarily that far off in the future.
No, it's really not. And that's what the Tony Perkins organization was saying. Hey, this Defense of Marriage Act is going to create problems and threaten the tax-exempt status of faith-based nonprofits and subject business owners to even more costly litigation and vilify millions of Americans who believe in natural marriage. And so there are issues that are coming up. And so it's going to get tougher in this world. In the last days, difficult times will come. And we have to decide, hey, am I going to stand up for Jesus and be a good soldier of Christ Jesus, or am I going to flee in cowardice? There's no place in the Christian life for cowards. We have to stand up and be counted for Jesus. Well, we have Ron on the line from Michigan. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. And I also appreciate certainly the truth of the program that you put forth every day. Thinking that men are so wise today, they think they're enlightened, liberals, progressives, so on and so forth. And it brings to mind Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. And then also I want to share with you that not according to Ron or the church that Ron and his wife attends, but the number one transmitter of the HIV virus, which of course leads to AIDS, according to the Center for Disease Control, it can be looked up, the number one transmitter is men committing the act of sodomy with other men.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. That, of course, comes from God's word. And as I've heard you share before in John, I don't remember the chapter necessarily, but thy word is truth.
Yep.
And things go well when we follow that. God has set forth this world with a moral order. And if we follow it, things are going to be well. And if we don't, we do so at our own peril.
That's exactly right, Ron. Good word. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm in the studio this morning with my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about the disrespect of marriage that we saw take place just yesterday at the White House signing into law that new bill called the Respect for Marriage, but it's not the Respect for Marriage. And we're taking your calls. We have two calls on the line. We'll get to those right after the break. So call in and let's talk.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. There's been a lot of loose talk lately, mostly from Team Biden, about the death of democracy. Generally, they're using that phrase to attack and suppress citizens who seek to make America great again. A real threat to our constitutional republic and the process by which its government of, by, and for the people operates is in evidence, but coming from different quarters. First, election mechanisms susceptible to fraud have been disenfranchising legal voters. Second, the open southern border is changing the U.S. electorate. Now, Democrats on Capitol Hill, with the help of some Republicans, are effectively negating the 2022 midterms by enacting a so-called omnibus bill, enabling the outgoing Congress to lock in spending and other priorities for the first year of the next one, supposedly under new management. We must stand up for democracy or kiss it goodbye. This is Frank Affney.
Rob West here, host of MoneyWise, heard daily on American Family Radio. I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. For over 40 years, American Family Association has been on the front lines in the battle for the future of our great nation. They continue to stand for the biblical principles America was founded upon. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. Why not explore the benefits of including AFA in your estate planning? You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Contact Riley Wildman and the team at the AFA Foundation today. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit afafoundation.net.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie. And we are opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, as we've been talking about marriage and the Respect for Marriage Act, which is probably more aptly defined as the Disrespect for Marriage Act, and the celebration of perversion and the perversion of marriage. We either do life God's way or we do it our way. Our way is always going to end in disaster and death, as Ron just shared, called in from Michigan. And so going God's way makes life work. And so we have Lee from Virginia on the line. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, Pastor. I really enjoy your show. Talked to you, matter of fact, yesterday. I like it when you and your wife is on there together. It bears out that one thing alone, just listening to y'all, that a man should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Can you imagine the stress it would be in your marriage if you and your wife didn't agree on this subject?
Yeah, it'd be bad.
That's the stress you see in churches. We've got churches now where a good amount of proportion, because of the pastors And because of social medias, you know, half the people still believe the word of the God, the other half don't. And when the half that believes it says the word of God, the other half gets mad. And speaking as a little pastor, not in your league, but it's very uncomfortable, but you got to do it to speak on what Isaiah and what the things you say. Mm-hmm. When you know there are people in your congregation that's got children and grandchildren living that lifestyle, mm-hmm. but the parents or the grandparents are not living that lifestyle, it's hard to speak on it because you know they're already broken in their heart, but you've got to do it out of love.
Right.
And it's like, I believe I may have told you before, I feel like I'm living in the days of the Roman Empire, and I'm watching it disintegrate every day, day by day, and seemingly there's nothing that I can do about it. You know, I can preach the truth, but the Bible says, I think it's in Timothy, the day will come that the people will not want to hear the truth,
right.
and they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll have preachers. They will hire preachers and look for preachers that will say what they want to hear. It's all right for your son to be like this. It's all right for your daughter to be like that. I'm so glad I was born in 1951 when I heard the gospel preached. Amen. It's just like one of your other guys said a while ago. It's amazing to me how we got so smart in the last 30 years when this country didn't believe none of this stuff to about 30 or 40 years ago in mass, and now it's everywhere.
Yeah, that's so true. That's a good word. God bless you, Lee. That's a good word, and you're exactly right. And we do need to stand up. I tell people from the pulpit, listen, I'm not talking to you directly. I'm just sharing the truth. If the truth, you know, if the shoe fits, wear it. But this isn't directed at you. As Adrian Rogers once told somebody that got mad at him, he said, hey, I was shooting in a barrel. Don't blame me if you were down in there. And that's we share the truth because people need to hear the truth. Now, when I sit down with somebody one on one, it's different because then I am talking to them directly. And there's tons of love and grace in the truth there. But that's a one on one conversation. Preaching is just it's shooting the truth out to a big, big group. And you know, when the shoe fits, that you have to wear it. Well, we have Ron on the line from Texas. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
My truth is God created marriage. God created man and woman. He didn't create man, woman, and it. And what Congress is trying to do is completely wrong. And just like your last man said, I think his name was Lee, said that, you know, about the preachers. God also said that there will be many false prophets coming in sheep's clothing, but they're wolves in disguise. We have to watch out for that in the end run. And what is being done today is completely wrong. You know, I'm just going to hang up and listen, man. I do appreciate your program from your heart. I really do.
Thank you, Ron. I appreciate that. Yeah, you're exactly right. And so we have to know the word so we know what is true. And when we hear something that's not true, we're able to say, hey, there's something wrong with that. That goes against what God has said.
Well, I think, too, we're not all Mr. Bibles like you, Jeff. I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. We're just not. The bulk of us don't have so much scripture memorized that we can just pull it out at any given second. But we can ask the Lord to give us discernment so that we can have a check in our spirit when we hear something that doesn't line up with his word. Now, that doesn't mean we necessarily have an argument instantaneously to fight it,
right.
But we can have that check in our spirit. We're like, something about this isn't right. I'm going to go research and I'm going to get in God's word and I'm going to figure out exactly what it is that is causing me to feel uneasy about this statement or whatever. And I think it's important that we do that and that we're responsible for that.
Well, I think it is. And it's important that you go to a church where you know, hey, the pastor preaches the Bible. He believes the Bible. He stands up and he is he's not ashamed of the Lord. He's not ashamed to speak the truth in love. you can trust a guy like that. And so when you run into a situation, hey, I don't know about this. What does the Bible say about that? He can help you with that. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to be at First Baptist Texarkana. We want to be a resource for people and a help for people that says we're going to ground you in the truth so that you can stand in the truth, so that you can be able to defend the truth. And it's not just, you know, check your brains at the door, because Christianity is not check your brains at the door. This is rooted in the Word of God, which is rooted in fact, in history. The empty tomb is a fact of history. And so we stand on the truth. Well, we have Jerry on the line from Texas. Jerry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, brother. Love listening to you and your wife on the show. I was telling your wife, I was talking to my 13-year-old son, whom we've had multiple conversations about, because he's more active in the culture. While we send him to a private Christian school, the culture will influence every part of everyone's aspect of life. And so I was letting him know that even though people can redefine words, we have to understand the exact correct meaning of a definition for a word. And we understand and take that definition from the Bible of what marriage is. And just as you said, I mean, I can sit here and we can all go back and forth on scripture that tells us how it's going to be in the end times. We know all that. My plea is to the parents, the grandparents, the actual aunts and uncles of children that don't go to church, don't know who Christ is, be bold, speak up for them. That's our duty. That's our call. We have to be the influence for them to understand the truth. And the word tells us that God's word is truth. We understand this because we have had our eyes opened to the Holy Spirit. And so I would just plead to those parents, grandparents, and family members that understand the truth, that it is our requirement to tell them the truth, even though it may hurt their feelings. I'm going to go and listen to your comments. I love
you. Yeah. Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate that. That is true. We speak the truth in love, and we don't back off from the truth just because that may hurt their feelings or maybe not what they want to hear. What would you say to that, Debbie?
Well, I think it goes back to what you just were talking about. There's a difference between you speaking truth from the pulpit and you speaking truth one-on-one to someone. So we never want to water down the truth. Ever. But when we're talking, particularly when we're talking to family members and talking to our children, we have to be very sensitive to the fact that we need to come from a heart of love as we do that, and that we speak it in such a way that our children recognize we're speaking from a heart of love. I think that's very, very important that we do that, and never to back down from the truth, never to water it down, never to minimize truth in any way, shape, or form. But we choose our words carefully, and we choose our countenance carefully. We do all of those things carefully when we're talking one-on-one to anyone about the truth. And particularly our children, because our children are watching us. They're watching to see if we are walking out the things that we're saying. And we have to be very diligent with that.
Well, I think, you know, from a doctor's standpoint, if he's going to give a lecture, let's say, to a big crowd of people about the evils of cancer and things that cause cancer and what cancer does, well, that's one presentation style. If he's sitting down with a patient that just got diagnosed with cancer and he has to break the news, he's going to be a lot more tender, gracious, hopefully with a good bedside manner, because this is direct one-on-one. And so that's kind of the difference between preaching to a large crowd and talking to someone one-on-one about the sin in his or her life that's going to wreck and ruin their lives. Well, we have John from Virginia on the line. John, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff and Debbie. I really appreciate your show. I drive in to work a little late between 9 and 10 out here in Virginia, and appreciate listening to you. And it seems like all your callers are Virginians or Texans so far. But I feel a real camaraderie with Texas down there. I just wanted to share one thought. You know, I believe the medical community, maybe the AMA or the psychiatry branch of that, no longer is it appropriate to have this or promote, I guess they might call it conversion therapy, But up here in Northern Virginia, outside of D.C. and in Baltimore, we've got a really dynamic ministry to the sexually broken called Regeneration. And it is so transformational that a relationship with Jesus is just so foundational to understanding your identity. And you won't hear it in the media, but there are lives, thousands, maybe tens of thousands, being changed. People in sexual brokenness that come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and you know, that identity is just dynamic in terms of healing that sexual brokenness. So a tremendous hope, and we all know it's in our Lord and Savior, but you won't hear it in the media and the culture, but it's there. And just appreciate you taking on a tough subject that the church is struggling with. And I'll get off and listen. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, John.
I did have one thing that came to my mind, John, as you were talking, and that is to understand the product, you go back to the manufacturer. The manufacturer knows the product, right? And so when it comes to defining who we are, we go back to the person who made us, and God made us. So he's going to have much more understanding of how our inner workings work, because he knows who he made.
Right. Yeah, he does. And you know, the whole idea, and I, John, I appreciate that. I appreciate your kind comments, and I'm glad about the ministry that your church is doing to help people that are sexually broken. Those people, you know, when they hit the point where they're like, hey, I'm at the pigsty, I'm at rock bottom, then God can do great things in their lives. As long as they're advocating for this deviation from the truth, they're never going to find love and joy and peace and the things that we all want. Those things only come from God. And so you have to hit the point where you say, I'm at the pigsty, Lord, I need you, and I come to my senses.
Well, I think it's important to make sure that we understand that we're all broken. So we're not trying to elevate this particular sin above any other sin. You know, the adulterer, they need help. They're broken. Mm-hmm. The abuser, they need help. They're broken. The one that's involved in drugs, the one who's caught up in lust, who's caught up in pornography. We are all broken people. And our brokenness does not have to define us, but we take it to the cross. And with that brokenness, we let the Lord put us back together.
Right. And as I said on a couple of programs ago, the difference is in the LGBTQ situation, they're refusing to acknowledge that they're sinners and that what they're doing is sin. Adulterers, I've never met anybody that says, yeah, adultery is a good thing. Fornication is a good thing. You know, lying, stealing, cheating, that's a good thing. So people like that are not trying to say, this is who I am. But people in the LGBT community, they attach a sin to their personhood. And when you attach sin to your personhood, you cannot be forgiven because God hates sin. And if you say, well, Lord, you're going to have to accept me this way, he won't. He won't accept any of us if we're bringing our sin in tow and saying, God, approve of me and my sin. You have to turn from sin. You have to repent of your sin, turn from your sin, and put your faith and trust in Jesus in order to be saved. Well, thank you for listening today. We had some callers that we weren't able to get to, and I apologize for that. Patrick in Indiana, I'm sorry that we weren't able to get to you, and some others. But thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening to the program. And we enjoy getting to share with you, hey, the truth, John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word, Father, is truth. And so sanctify yourself, set yourself apart in the truth, shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and he will use you. God bless. Make it a great day.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.